Chevron Corporation, headquartered right here in the Bay Area, in San Ramon, is one of the top oil companies in the world after Exxon, and I'm not sure exactly where they fall in line, but Chevron's up there in the top three or four. In any case, when they merged with Texaco some years back, they took over oil operations in the Amazon portion of Ecuador, where Texaco had been active for decades. Now there's a class action suit being conducted in Ecuadorian courts charging Chevron, formerly Chevron Texaco, with assaulting the environment of the people that live there. Joining us to talk about this is the attorney for the plaintiffs in that case in Ecuador, Stephen Donziger. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
And also with us is an organizer, working on issues of cleaning up Ecuador, Leila Salazar-Lopez. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with you, Leila. Are you working here in the States to bring attention to what's happened to Ecuador? Or are you working in Ecuador, or are you working both places?
We are actually working right here in the Bay Area. Amazon Watch is based in San Francisco. And we are coordinating the Cleanup Ecuador campaign, which is a campaign to support the demands of the indigenous and peasant farmer communities who are trying to seek justice from Chevron as a result of Texaco's operations in Ecuador. So we have a campaign called the Cleanup Ecuador campaign where we're pressuring Chevron locally in San Ramon in the Bay Area and also nationally working with Amnesty International.
Stephen, who are the plaintiffs in Ecuador?
The plaintiffs are thousands of people who live in the Amazon region and two provinces just south of Colombia. They consist of about 80 communities, mestizo communities, peasant farmer communities, and five indigenous groups. The indigenous groups had lived there for centuries in the rainforest before Texaco came into the area in the mid-1960s. Texaco won the first concession in that area from the Ecuadorian government at that time, and they proceeded to create an infrastructure down there of oil extraction that ended up over the course of about 25 years dumping more than 18 billion gallons of toxic wastewater directly into the rainforest environment. Basically, this has subjected the rainforest to a form of slow biological torture in this area, and the people who live there, particularly the indigenous groups, are suffering tremendously. Health effects are horrific. Cancer rates are high. There's cancer, leukemia among young children is really four times higher than the rest of Ecuador. And one indigenous tribe has already disappeared, and two others are on the brink of extinction. One, the Cofan, has only about 400 people living on their ancestral lands, where Texaco drilled for oil, and before Texaco came, they had thousands of people. So it's a really terrible situation, and the purpose of the lawsuit is to, you know, try to get Chevron to accept some level of responsibility for what Texaco did, given that Chevron now owns Texaco and legally is responsible for its obligations, and to dialogue with the communities and figure out a way to save lives and clean this mess up. So that's the purpose of the lawsuit.
Well, we contacted Chevron over the last 2 days, and after many, many phone calls, initially they seemed enthusiastic about joining us this morning to participate in this discussion. But then finally yesterday afternoon, they got back to us with the news that they regarded KPFA as a totally biased institution, and that consequently they would not participate in this conversation because KPFA has a history of being very one-sided. So, of course, we didn't want to be one-sided. We wanted to talk with them, but they have decided not to join us. In any case, Stephen, maybe you should explain. Most of us think that when you have an oil well, the oil just is pumped out of the ground and end a problem. But you're saying that there is this byproduct wastewater that is left over when you drill for oil. Why is that?
Well, you know, the oil business, I believe, can be conducted in an environmentally safe and sound manner. That did not happen in Ecuador. And the reason is when you bring oil out of the ground, it comes up with what's called water of formation, which is basically wastewater. It's highly toxic, contains several known human carcinogens. And to get oil to market, what you have to do is separate the wastewater from the marketable crude. In the United States and most other countries, what happens is after the separation process takes place, which is usually happens right near the well site, the wastewater is reinjected thousands of feet into the ground into a separate well cavity where it can have, you know, virtually no environmental impact. And in the United States and all over the world, where there's even the slightest chance that this wastewater could contaminate fresh water supplies that people rely on for drinking water. You know, that can be in the Bay Area, it can be in the middle of the United States, it can be in the middle of the rainforest where people live and rely on fresh water sources to survive. You cannot do this. I mean, it will end up killing people because it will put poisons in the water supply. So in the United States, we have had laws dating from the early part of the last century in the sort of infant stages of the oil industry outlawing the discharge of these toxic waters of formation into the environment, except in very rare circumstances when, you know, where people don't live or it's desert or next to the ocean where there's not a high amount of salt in the water. But generally, you simply cannot do this where people live. And in Ecuador, Texaco violated that industry standard and those laws and just dumped it directly into the rainforest. And if you go there and see this with your own eyes, what you notice is they had about 350 well sites in an area about the size of Rhode Island. And they, all of these wells had pipes that fed in to 16 separation stations where the separation process occurred. And these separation stations are, you know, technologically impressive structures, a lot of machinery, where the separation takes place. And they built these generally on the tops of hills, you know, in the jungle area, where they could discharge, you know, what ended up being literally 4 million gallons a day of this stuff at the 16 stations, directly down hills into streams, swamps, and rivers that would flow into people's villages, that downstream that they relied on for their drinking water, for their bathing, to fish, to get to eat. And it really is shocking to see. It's totally meditated, and frankly took quite a bit of ingenuity to devise.
How is the case going? Is it reaching a climax?
The case is going well, I believe, for our side. I mean, the evidence is coming in very, very well for us. All of the sites that have been inspected by the court, there's been 40 of these sites inspected. We've taken water and soil samples, as has Chevron, and almost all the samples for both sides point to extremely dangerous levels of toxic contamination. The problem we're having is the same problem, you know, the fishermen in Alaska are having with Exxon right now over the Valdez spill, which is that the defense of these companies is just to delay and drag it out and prevent a final determination. So what we're finding is Chevron's strategy down there is to, you know, file tremendous motions, ask for a huge amount of delays, make everything more complicated than it needs to be, and we're finding that this is taking a very long time, and while this takes a long time, you know, the suffering increases and the hardship increases for the people there. We have asked Chevron on many occasions, and also Texaco before the companies merged, to dialogue with the communities, with the representatives of the communities, with the lawyers, to see if there can be some sort of solution, because people are dying down there.
Mm-hmm.
And the company has consistently violated, really, its own rhetoric. You know, if you go to their website, it says, the Chevron way is to conduct business in a socially responsible and ethical manner, you know, to support universal human rights, protect the environment, benefit the communities where we work, learn and respect cultures in which we work. And what's happened in Ecuador, that hasn't happened. They violated their own tenets because they have never dialogued with local communities to try to find a solution to this problem. And, you know, this is a company, as you know, that has benefited greatly from the current economic environment with oil prices. They have had record profits each of the last 2 years. They grossed about $190 billion last year, had profits of $15 billion. We estimate that it would cost about $6 billion to do a comprehensive cleanup. This, by the way, is the worst oil-related ecological catastrophe on Earth right now, according to experts. And the reason more people don't know about it is because it's in such an isolated area, and it's really hard to get American networks down there to cover it. You know?
Let me interrupt you there, Stephen, because I want to get Layla back in it.
Uh-huh.
Layla Salazar-Lopez, again, with Amazon Watch, the project on Cleanup Ecuador. Layla, if in fact it's slow going through the courts, obviously you're attempting to go the other way, and that's through public education and political pressure on Chevron. How is that working?
It's moving along, and it's going really good. We started our campaign 3 years ago with just, you know, a couple people at Amazon Watch, and our campaign has grown. As I mentioned before, now Amnesty International, their business and human rights network, has taken this campaign on. And we also have many allies, like Global Exchange, Rainforest Action Network, other organizations who are supporting us. And we're also, actually right now I'm in Sacramento with, some Amazonian leaders who are here. And, we spent the day talking to policymakers about our concerns. We spoke to members of the Latino Caucus of the state of California, of representatives from the state treasurer's office, because we feel that the policymakers need to get involved in this situation. Chevron is the largest corporation in California. They're the second largest oil company in the United States, fourth largest energy company in the world, and it's really a shame that this company is getting away with murder, basically. You know, we look at the situation, what I've been telling people over the last couple of days when we're speaking to public audiences, I say, you know, look at what's happening in Sudan. You know, it's a situation of mass genocide, and universities and public pension funds like CalPERS and CalSTRS have recently announced that they're divesting from Sudan, and they should. And what we're looking at in Ecuador is a genocide as well. It's a genocide that's been happening over 30 years, and these people who are affected are dying a slow death, but they're still being affected, you know, in a sense, in a genocide, because these indigenous cultures, their cultures are disappearing.
Has Chevron ever responded to your efforts at Amazon Watch?
Yes, they have. I mean, I think that one of the main ways that they've responded is by really bumping up their PR response. I mean, they have a website called Texaco in Ecuador where they, you know, respond to any press release that we put out. They respond to any press release that the legal team will put out. And they have, you know, a couple years ago when we had indigenous leaders come to the Chevron shareholder meeting in San Ramon, we, for many, many days, we asked if we could meet with the company. And, well, for a year before that, we had asked if the indigenous leaders could meet with the company, and they wanted to meet with the CEO, and that never happened. So a couple years ago when the Amazonian leaders came to the shareholder meeting, some members of their corporate responsibility team have met with them. So So that happened on one occasion, but you know, they really don't ever want to talk about the lawsuit. I think that's part of their strategy, is to, you know, try to separate the campaign from the lawsuit, and they, you know, they don't, the corporate responsibility team doesn't want to talk about the lawsuit.
Okay. Let's bring people up to speed on what's going to be happening next Wednesday. Wednesday is the 26th of April, National Day of Action to Clean Up Ecuador. We need to sort of jump to the chase here. This is sponsored not only by Amazon Watch, but Amnesty International, and you mentioned others, Global Exchange involved as well. And you're going to be at the shareholders meeting, this time being held in Houston, Texas. I presume that they might find Houston to be a friendlier locale for their shareholders meeting. But, you know, we've got a sister station, KPFT, in Houston that might be of some help with that. But here in the Bay Area, you've got events planned for next Wednesday as well. Do you want to let us know?
Yeah. So next Wednesday, April 26th, is Chevron's annual general meeting. And for those of you who don't know, the last couple years, Chevron has had their annual meeting here in San Ramon. And this year, they've moved it to Houston, Texas, to their new corporate headquarters, which...
Oh, really? They're moving out of San Ramon?
Well, they have corporate offices there.
Okay.
Just as a correction, they have corporate offices in Houston, many corporate offices. And it's actually a new office building, which is called the Emporis Building. And I've been told that that's one of the buildings that was going to be an Enron building. So coincidentally, they're having their shareholder meeting in Houston, Texas, and we've called a National Day of Action to Clean Up Ecuador. So we're having a protest in front of Chevron's offices at 1500 Louisiana Street in Houston. But also, we don't want Chevron to think that people in the Bay Area don't care about the situation, and we want to have solidarity actions with the protests in Houston. And so there's going to be a protest in San Ramon at the Chevron World Headquarters at 8 a.m. There's going to be a protest in San Francisco at a corporate-owned Chevron gas station at 6th and Harrison. That's at 5:30 p.m. And here in Sacramento, there's going to be a protest at 5 o'clock p.m. at Folsom and Power Inn Road. And at UC Berkeley, there's going to be a campus rally at Sproul Plaza at 12 noon. And that one's really important because the University of California has investments in Chevron. And we think that it's really time for universities to look at their investments in these companies. And students that we just met with the other day, we had a really wonderful event at the International House at Berkeley, and the students were really fired up to begin pressuring their company to look at the investments that they have in Chevron and ask questions of, you know, the outstanding liabilities that the company has in Ecuador.
Okay, we're going to have to cut to the chase. So, again, Sproul Plaza next Wednesday at noon, and then there's going to be a march from Sproul Plaza down Telegraph Avenue to Ashby, to the Chevron station at the corner of Ashby and Telegraph on Wednesday. And all of this is on your website, www.amazonwatch.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we will keep people informed.
There's one other website, if I may, that Amazon
sure.
Watch keeps more directly related to the
Go ahead.
Situation. It's called ChevronToxico.com. Chevron, not Texaco, ChevronToxico.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you both very much. Again, I've been speaking with Stephen Donziger, attorney for the plaintiffs in Ecuador, and Leila Salazar Lopez with Amazon Watch Cleanup Ecuador Project. Thank you both very much.
Thank you
so much.